ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तो ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो वी आर् गोयिङ्ग् टु दि सेकेण्ड् चाप्टर् फस्ट् मन्त्र यदि मन्यसे सुवेदेति दभ्रमेवापि नूनम् त्वं वेत्त ब्रह्मणो रूपम् यदस्य त्वम् यदस्य देवेष्वथ नु मीमांसमेव ते मन्ये विदितम् The teacher says, Yadi Manyase. Manyase. So, Yadi Manyase. The Yadi is an indeclinable word which means if. Manyase, think. You think. In Tamil we say Karudinal, Karudhirai. No, manyase, if you think, what you think? Yadi tvam manyase, if you think, suveda iti, suveda, suveda means sushtuveda, I know very well. If you think, I know very well, inverted commas, I know well. Su, that is su, is a prefix. Veda means I know. Suveda, I know very well. Su implies, indicates, you know, the definiteness of one's knowledge. So suveda, I know very well Brahman. What are Brahmanaha rupam? I know very well Brahman. Iti, iti, thus. If, enral, karudhirai, enral. If you think, I know very well Brahman. If you think, you know Brahman. The teacher says, if you think, you know Brahman very well. In Sanskrit, we don't have this. That's your own direct speech, okay? If you think, என்னோட கமாஸ் ஐ நோ பிரம்மன் வெரி வெல். The teacher tells, if the student, he tells the student that if he knows Brahman very well, he means the student knows Brahman very well, then dabhrameva tvam vetha brahmanaha rupam. Tvam vetha, then you know nature of Brahman. Definitely, you know nature of Brahman, but now, very little. You are Brahman. If you think you know Brahman very well, then definitely you know nature of Brahman very, very little. The Brahm Daharam means little, alpam. Alpam. If knowing I know Brahman very little means I do not know Brahman. Okay? You know Brahman very little means what? You do not know Brahman really. This is the meaning of the first sentence. The Brahmeva, the Noonam means definitely. Dabhrameva tvam veta brahmanaha rupam. Definitely you know nature of Brahman very little, which means you do not know Brahman. If you say you know Brahman, if you think you know Brahman, definitely you do not know Brahman. Then he goes next line. Yadu Asya Tvam Yad Asya Deveshu Atha. If you think that nature of Brahman is something which obtains in all the beings, obtains in you, and then our human beings, and also what now? It is one of the Deveshu, one among the, Brahman is one of the Devas. If you think Brahman is one of the Devas you worship, Devas means the phenomena, one of the phenomena we worship, like Indra, Agni, Vayu, etc. Or if you think Brahman is one of the deities you worship as Vishva, Vishnu, etc. Deveshu means Deveshu among the Devas. If you think Brahman is one among them, then or if you think you are Brahman, if you think I know Brahman, I am Brahman. If you think, and if you think that you are Brahman, taking your body mind complex also into account, then definitely you do not know. That means you have yet to understand Brahman. Mimamsya meva. Mimamsa means matum iccha mimamsa. The desire to measure is called mimamsa. So, literally, even though the word mimamsa literally means desire to measure, actually what is implied by the word mimamsa is desire to further analysis. Measure means what? To know correctly, isn't it? To know, therefore, desire to analyze. So, mimamsyam means still needs to be analyzed into. That means your knowledge is not very clear knowledge. In fact, you do not know your wrong understanding of Brahman. Therefore, mimamsa meva. It has to be further analyzed. What has been analyzed? The Mahavakyas have to be further analyzed. That's not said here, understood. So these statements which reveal the nature of Brahman, those statements have to be further analyzed. The further analysis involves what? Involves also understanding the statements with reference to other shastras also, so that you, how all other stuff, once you analyze these statements, it will help you to even negate the different schools of thought like yoga, nyaya, sankhya, vaisheshika, all the different schools of thought. People of different schools of thought, they have their own views of Brahman reality, their contentions of Brahman the reality. So, and then, so those wrong contentions of Brahman, wrong views of Brahman, but they have their own arguments also, how they are right, from their own standpoints. But still, they are all fallible, isn't it? Not infallible. They can be refuted, they can be, they have their own limitations, their defects. They are defect-free vision, isn't it? They are defective. It means we can point out where they are wrong. So, logically, those people of different schools of thought, I mean, the views of different schools of thought also have to be negated, for thereby this, which will become, this will become very clear for the student. That means the vision of reality will be very clear. Therefore, he says, Mimamsa Meva, it is said to be further analyzed. This is a long bhashyam we have for this. Mimamsa Meva. So, yadasya tvam, yadasya deveshu, no, Mimamsa Meva. It has to be analyzed. And here, there's one student, it seems, she says, Manye Viditam. Manye Viditam. The last word, Manye Viditam, means, I think, Manye, I think, Viditam. Viditam means, Brahman is known. By me. For me, Brahman is known. He doesn't say the known. For me, Brahman is known. But he doesn't stop. Because if he says, I think Brahman is known by me, I think I know Brahman. If he says, then he doesn't say, I know very well. No? He only says, I think I know Brahman. But he wants to make it very clear to his teacher. No, the vision, how, what his vision is. He wanted to reveal how, what his understanding of Brahman is. What his vision of Brahman is. Therefore, he didn't want the teacher to mistake him. That is why the famous mantra of the student, no, is following. The following mantra, he makes it very clear that the teacher should not mistake him. Mistake means that his knowledge is incorrect. So the manye viditam, that those two words will become very clear only when you see, read the following mantra. We are not going to the following mantra now, we have to do this mantra. Because I'm just like manye viditam, I think I know Brahman, Brahman is known to me, known for me. But how you know? That is going to say the first, next following mantra. When I say I know Brahman, what I mean, O teacher, then he is going to continue in the next mantra. But now what we have to do, now we have to see the bhashyam. What is the teaching here? The teacher makes it very clear. If you think Brahman, you are Brahman, and along with all your body-mind's complex, then you do not know. If you think Brahman is one of the devas you worship, then you do not know Brahman. Even if you say, I know Brahman very well, then also you know the nature of Brahman very little, which means you do not know Brahman. This is the simple meaning of the mantra. See the Bhashyam. Yevam Heya Upadeya Viparitaha Tu Viparitastvam Atma Brahma Iti Pratyayitaha Sishyaha Ahameva Brahma Iti. Evam, in this manner, Heya Upadeya Viparitaha Tvam Atma. This is the teaching of the previous, this sentence is about teaching of the previous mantra. Not previous mantra, previously, before we came to this mantra, there was a teaching. What was the teaching? Heya Upadeya Viparitaha Tvam Atma Brahma. You are Brahman. Brahman, the reality, is none other than you, which is, you means what? You, the consciousness, which is distinct from both desirable, acceptable, undesirable, non-acceptable, rejectable object of knowledge. So heya means desire. Heya means now undesirable, rejectable object. Upadeya means desirable, acceptable object. Okay, therefore, viparitaha means different. Different. Tvam, you. So you are Atma. You are Atma, the inner, you are the consciousness, the all-pervasive self. You are that Atma, which is, what is that consciousness? Distinct from, different from, the desirable, undesirable, acceptable, rejectable, rejectable objects of knowledge. Is it clear? When I said acceptable, rejectable means, desirable, undesirable means, it is different from the cause as well as the effect. Atma is different from the cause as well as the effect. That which is taken as the cause, so for example, if you say the clay is something taken, isn't it? Taken for producing the pot. Clay is the upadanam. And heya means what now, isn't it? Suppose the pain is there. Pain is something undesirable. Therefore, it is neither the acceptable object nor the unacceptable, undesirable object. It is not rejectable thing. It is not the cause, it is not even the effect, it is not the known, it is not the unknown. Atma is not the known object, Atma is not the unknown object. Atma is not the cause, Atma is not the effect. Atma is not something desirable or undesirable, something acceptable or rejectable. Atma is not any of these things. Atma is not an object. Atma is not object of knowledge. That means, what is the object of Atma is not an object of knowledge, and everything in the universe being an object of knowledge, the only one thing which does not come under the category of the object of knowledge is the subject. You have to remember all those things here for to understand this one sentence. That which does not come under the category of the object is subject. And the subject is a subject of knowledge. So subject of knowledge is Atma. I'm not saying Atma is object of knowledge. Okay? The subject of knowledge is Atma. The knower is Atma. When I say knower is Atma, and who is the knower? I have to come to the next step. Knower is Atma. If knower is Atma, who is the knower? The knower is, there is no knower other than pure consciousness. Therefore, Atma means the innermost essence of every being is Atma. Pratyagatma. Pratyag means innermost. The innermost essence of every being is what now? Atma. And that innermost essence of every being is what now? It is no knower other than the consciousness. Therefore, the innermost, the consciousness, which is the innermost self, of essence of all the beings is the Atma. The Atma, the self, Atma the self is the actually Brahman. That alone is Brahman. Iti. Therefore, Tvam Brahma, isn't it? The Tvam Pada Lakshyartha. Tvam Brahma. Tvam Atma Brahma. You are Atma. Yes, Brahman. You are Brahman. Means the teacher implies only the pure consciousness, which is the innermost essence of all the beings, which is the self of all the beings. That is what is implied by the teacher when he mentioned Tvam. This has been taught earlier. Therefore, when the teacher teaches this, because the teacher has already taught this, pratyayitaha means the student has been already given this vision. Pratyayitaha means he has been made to understand. He has been taken to this understanding. Pratyayitaha means he has been taken to this understanding, means he has been given this vision. Isn't it? He has been given this vision in the previous mantra. So, pratyayitaha, he has been given this vision. What vision has been given to him earlier? Sishyaha, who has been given this vision, blessed with this vision, that this Brahman, the Atma, which is different from all the objects, that which is not an object. Atma is never available for objectification, not an object. And if it is not an object, the only thing which is not an object is the subject of knowledge. The subject of knowledge is knower, then there is no knower other than pure consciousness. And no, the pure consciousness is, use the word knower, subject, to arrive at consciousness. Thereafter, you don't again forget about that also. It's like what? Who is the illuminator? Search for the illuminator, then arrive at the light. Once you arrive at the light, then you don't call. There's no, you don't need to talk about illuminator. The aim is to arrive at the light. Because light is available for recognition as the illuminator. Then because there's no illuminator other than the light. You resolve the It is all the illuminated, the word illuminated in the light. Understand? And be with the light, that's all. Similarly here also, when you say Atma is not an object means, Atma is not the object means Atma is that which is not an object. And that which is not an object is a subject. The subject is knower. The knower is none other than consciousness. And the consciousness is the innermost essence of all the beings, the self of all the beings. Therefore, you are innermost essence of you. What now? You are the innermost essence, the consciousness. Therefore, you are Brahma. This is the vision the student has been given in the previous, through his teaching in the previous verses. Therefore, such a disciple, immediately what conclusion he may arrive at? Because the teacher has taught you are Brahman, implying the pure consciousness as the meaning of Tvam, you, the student can say what now? Aham eva Brahma. Yes, teacher has told me, you are Brahma. Immediately, what can you arrive at? Ahameva Brahma. Ahameva Brahma iti. Sushtu Veda Aham iti ma grinniyat. Yes, I am Brahman. I know Brahman very well. Look at this. Aham, I am Brahman. I know very well I am Brahman. It is to ma grinniyat. He should not have wrong understanding. May the student not have wrong understanding. Okay, ma grinniyat. What? Is I know. What now? I know very well I am Brahman. Why Ashayat, with this intention, and the book says Ashankya, isn't it? With this doubt, the student might mistake. Acharyaha, this teacher, Sishya Buddhi Vichalanartham. Sishya Buddhi Vichalanartham. For making his knowledge clearer, for making his understanding doubt-free, for making his understanding doubt-free, and what a vichalanartham, in order to shake his understanding, thereby only you have to shake anything to make it firm. The shakeable means it is not firm. You have to shake to see whether it is shaky or not. And when you shake, if it is shaky, you can make it firm. Do further mimamsa, make it firm. If it is not shaky, leave it. Oh, fine. How will you know it is firm or shaky if you don't shake, without shaking? Therefore, vichalanartham, buddhi vichalanartham, in order to make sure whether the student's buddhi, understanding is clear or not, to make it, if he has right understanding, okay. If he doesn't have right understanding, if he still has not clear understanding, then let me help him to have clear understanding. With this intention, Tishya Buddhi Vichalanartham Yadi Ityadi, he begins this second, the first mantra of this second section. Yadi Iti, he begins this mantra like this. So Shankara's Bhasha, why the teacher begins his mantra saying this? If you think you know Brahman, you know very, very little of Brahman's nature, which means you do not know Brahman. If you think Brahman is one among is. Now Brahman is you, you are Brahman. If you think Brahman is you with all your body, mind, complex, taking them into account, or if you think Brahman is one of the devas, then definitely do not know Brahman. Now he continues. Nanu. Here, it seems, the student comes in the picture now. When the teacher, the mantra states this, then another student comes and says, Nanu Ishtaiva Suveda Aham Iti Nischita Pratipattihi. This is an objection comes from the street teacher. Why? Now we all have the same meaning, Anna. I know very well I am Brahman. Now, if somebody says, Ishta eva suveda ahamiti nischita pratipatihi. Ishta eva means, is it something nice? Is it something desirable? Ishta means what? Desirable. Is it something desirable? Is it something nice? It's the right answer, isn't it? Ishta eva tu Veda aham, so Veda aham iti nischita pratipattihi. Nischita pratipattihi means firm, nischita, definite knowledge. Pratipattihi means knowledge or cognition or comprehension, understanding. If a person, that is, Nischita pratipattihi ishta eva. It is something acceptable, desirable only. Understanding is acceptable, desirable. If a person says, I know Brahman very well. I have understood Brahman very well. Then the teacher says, Satyam ishta nischita pratipattihi. Yes, my beloved student. The teacher says, Satyam, of course, ishta nischita pratipattihi. The firm, doubt-free, clear understanding or vision or comprehension of Brahman definitely is desirable. Acceptable. Of course, teaching itself is for that. No problem. Definite understanding of Brahman is very much wanted, very much desirable here. Acceptable. Here, nahi, but not, what is not acceptable, he says, nahi, suveda aham iti. What is not acceptable is, I know very well. The student is asking, oh teacher, isn't it desirable, nice for one to say the firm understanding of Brahman, isn't it desirable? And when one states, I know Brahman very well, he says, of course, Satyam, Ishta Nischita Pratipattihi. Ishta Nischita Pratipattihi. Definite, firm understanding of Brahman, clear, doubt-free understanding of Brahman is definitely desirable. Isn't it? It is nice. But what is not Ishta, what is not acceptable, what is not desirable is Suveda aham iti. I know Brahman very well. I know very well. That is not ishta. Clear vision of Brahman is wanted, no doubt. But I know Brahman very well is not correct. Yadhi. Why? Because vastu vishayi bhavati. Tat sushtu veditam shakyam. Yad vastu vedyam vastu tad sushtu veditam shakyam vishayi bhavati. Yad vedyam vastu tad sushtu veditam shakyam. And anything which is an object, okay, vedyam vastu. Vedyam vastu, anything which is to be known, an object which is to be known, is it possible for one to know well, very well, it is possible for one to know very well that which is an object. Anything which is an object. And then vishayi bhavati. Vishayi bhavati, it becomes an object. Becomes, if we say, I know very well, means, and what is to be known, what is known by me very well, is, what means what? I am the knower, and what is known by me well is an object different from me. That means you are making Brahman an object. I know Brahman well means, you are the knower, and you make Brahman an object of your knowledge. If you say, then you are making Brahman an object, that expression, through that expression, if you say, that I know this very well, I know this very well, I know that very well, I know that very well means, I am the knower, and all those things are what? Objects of knowledge. Similarly, I know well, very well Brahman, well, I know very well means, then Brahman also is made an object. Brahman, you have made Brahman as an object of knowledge. Which means, I have direct experience of Brahman. Another problem is, I have direct experience of Brahman. He says, no, I told you last class itself, Brahman, can you say that Brahman is not an object in this context? Something you have to think about. Can you say, I know Brahman as the subject? You said Brahman is not an object, isn't it? Therefore, Brahman is a subject of experience. I know Brahman as the subject of experience. If you say also, you do not know Brahman. I know Brahman as a subject of experience also. You do not know Brahman. Because then still you are making division, isn't it? It means subject. Subject of experience. You cannot call, I tell you, give you the example. Even in that the other class I said, you cannot call something as cause or effect. You suppose when you before, if there is a clay of ball, if there is a clay of ball, suppose if there is a clay in the form of a ball, okay, if you have a ball of clay, and you cannot call it a cause, nor can you call it an effect. A ball of clay, a clay in the form of a ball, you cannot call it a cause, nor can you call it an effect. When there is a pot, when it is converted into a pot alone, you can call it what? You can say, cause of the pot is clay. Then later on you can say, the effect is just the name and the form. The effect also is nothing but clay. That is the status of being the cause, status of being the effect, is it, can be attributed to a given thing only when there is an effect. When it is manifest as an effect, isn't it? Similarly, only with reference to a given object there can be a subject. Only with reference to a given object you can say, I know this means, I know that, I know this. When you say, when is the subject, isn't it? Subject is always with reference to a given object. There can be a subject only with reference to a given object. So Brahman is neither the subject, is not available. If you say, I know Brahman, a subject. Also, you are, isn't it? Brahman becomes what? Brahman is the knower then. Now, is Brahman the knower? Tell me. Is Brahman the knower? You can say the knower is Brahman. You resolve knower in Brahman, you said Brahman alone is. There is no knower, isn't it? There is no illuminator here. Is illuminator sitting here anywhere? No. Use the term illuminator to arrive at the light. Then you resolve the word illuminator in the light. Is Brahman, if you can say Brahman is the knower only if knowing is an act of knowing, is an action. You can say Brahman is subject only if you say subject of knowledge. Subject means subject of knowledge. Then, even if you say Brahman is subject of knowledge, then you are saying Brahman is the knower. If you say Brahman is the knower, knowing must be an action on the part of Brahman. Therefore, knowing is not an action on the part of Brahman. Therefore, you cannot say Brahman is the subject of knowledge also. Understand? Now if you say, no, I experience Brahman in meditation, I study Shastram, understood first, people talk about this theory, okay, theoretically understood Brahman, it's all like wrong, all vague expressions. You can say how much a person is vague becomes very clear when they say all these things. I study Shastram, I have understood Brahman theoretically, okay, theory of what Brahman is, etc. And now, later on, I practice meditation. And during meditation, I have given particular experience. What now? I've experienced Brahman. I have direct experience of Brahman in a given experience. Any experience is an event which happens in given time and which disappears in given time. Brahman, therefore, the object which is experienced is in a given event of experience also not Brahman. Brahman is something which obtains in the reality, which obtains in all the experiences, always, everywhere. Therefore, when you say initially Upanishad teaches Brahman is available for recognition as one's own self, in one's own mind, as the very knower, available for recognition as the knower, it is said, no doubt. Does not say Brahman is the knower. For recognition, you search for who the knower is. Then we understand there is no such a thing called a knower. There is no knower. What is there is only consciousness. There is no knower other than consciousness. The consciousness gets a status of being the knower only from the standpoint of the known. But really speaking, Brahman is not knower, an object of knowledge. You know why? Knower means you. When you know certain things, you are a knower. Definitely certain things I know. There's a knower in me, knower in you, knower in her, knower in her, knower in all of them. You know, because why there's so many knowers then? What you know, I do not know. What I know, she doesn't know. Because our objects of knowledge are different. And then our knowledge of different object, knowledge also of objects, knowledge also is different, isn't it? Who is the knower then? Therefore, there is no knower other than consciousness in every mind. But consciousness is not even the knower. There is no knower other than consciousness. But consciousness is not the knower. It's not a new lesson, but you are understanding differently. Why? Because this one should not say, I know Brahman very well. If Brahman is not an object, I know Brahman. Brahman, I know Brahman is subject. If he says, then he is wrong, isn't it? I know Brahman because Brahman is subject. I know Brahman as subject. It's a relative expression, isn't it? Brahman is free. If you say Brahman is subject, means and then still duality will come. Different from the object then. Later on you have to resolve subject, object, isn't it? We have to solve all the differences. Therefore, he says what now? Yad hi vedyam vastu vishayi bhavati. Vedyam vastu vishayi bhavati. Anything which is to be known is an object of vedyam vastu. An object of knowledge. Sushtu veditam shakyam. An object of knowledge alone, it is one can know very well only an object of knowledge. It's available for objectification as object of knowledge. And if you say, I know Brahman well, definitely Brahman has become your object of knowledge. Now he further goes, Dahyamiva Dagdum Agnehe Dagduhu Nato Agnehe Swarupameva. See, Dahyam Iva Dagdum Agnehe. The fire, you know, Dahya means that which is to be burnt, that which can be burnt. That which can be burnt is an object of burning for the fire, isn't it? When you say dagdha, now Shankara says, dagdha means the burner, one who burns, is dagdha. Dogdha means milker, Bhagavad Gita you learned. Here dagdha means one who burns, that which burns. And who is the dagdha? Fire is the dagdha. Agnihi dagdha. The fire is the one who burns. And dahyam means that which is to be burnt. So that which is to be burnt is an object of object, isn't it? And the one who burns is subject the fire. If you say, like how you say fire burns dry wood. Suppose we say, fire burns dry wood. We say, what is wood there? An object of burning. And fire is the subject of burning, the act of burning. Isn't it? If you say, I know Brahman very well, it is like saying, is it? The burnt firewood, fire has burnt the firewood. Like how firewood is an object of the burning. Similarly, I know Brahman means you have made Brahman an object of knowledge. Now he continues. Dagduhu na agnehe swarupameva. Fire's own swarupam cannot be an object of burning. Look at this. Dagduhu swarupameva. Dagduhu swarupam agnehe swarupameva. Dagduhu agnehe swarupameva natu dahyam. Fires, the fire which is the burner, which burns everything. This its fire's swarupam, the fire's real nature, its own intrinsic nature, cannot be an object of burning. Can fire burn its own nature, its own swarupa? Can fire burn itself? Can fire burn its own in swarupa? Fire can burn anything else in the world, but it cannot burn its own swarupa. The burning nature. The one thing which the fire cannot burn is its swarupam, the burning nature, the fire. The fire cannot burn itself. Appa, it's such a thing, isn't it? Only one thing which the fire cannot burn is itself, its own self. Similarly, you cannot know yourself. Your real nature cannot be an object of knowledge. Your swarupam cannot be your object of knowledge. That which knows all the minds, that which knows all the sense powers, that which knows all the objects through the senses and mind and all of them, that which knows everything not by its, by as an action but by its mere presence, is not an object of knowledge, not even a subject of knowledge. It's like saying, no, the sun is the illuminator of everything. We have to say, the one who illuminates the whole universe is the sun. The illuminator of everything is the sun, even though we say, sun is, everything is illumined. Nothing shines outside of the sunlight. When you say, oh, sun illumines itself. Does the sun do the act of illumining itself? Swarupa, isn't it? Does the fire burn itself? No. The one who obtains as that which burns everything is the fire. Similarly here, the Atma, consciousness, the Atma is what now, is not the knower, not the subject of knowledge. Why? Because consciousness, isn't it? You cannot say that I know my swarupam. I know my swarupam. Because you cannot know your swarupam. You can claim your swarupam, not know your swarupam. Knowing swarupam is you. The knowing nature is you. You are the very nature. You are consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing. Knowing nature, that which is of the nature of knowing, is you. That which is of the nature of knowing is you. So then you can claim that no, that which is of the nature of knowing is the self, myself. You can claim it. So claiming that which is of the nature of knowing as the self is the appropriate understanding of Brahman. Because I know, if you say, that expression makes Brahman an object. Is it clear? It's all not for any argument here. It's just to, for us to be with the teaching and to see that, how clear it is. That's why Shankara gives example. Agnihi dahyamiva. Dahya means to be burnt. That which is to be burnt, isn't it? Dahyam iva dagduhu tadagdum. Dahyam iva dagdum agnihi. For a fire to burn something, it must be what? Something must be, to be burnt must be different from the fire. For the fire to burn something, what is to be burnt must be something different from the fire. Why? Because dagduhu agnehe dagduku swarupameva. Okay, Agni's own swarupam cannot be dahyam, an object to be burnt. For fire, okay, for fire, its own nature-rupam cannot be an object to be burnt. Object to be burnt. Nirupirkku tan swarupame erikkappada vendiya porulaga aaga mudiyadu. Fire's own nature cannot be an object to be burnt. To be burnt object. Therefore, fire cannot be subject also of itself. Understand what I'm saying? With reference to anything other than the fire can said to be the subject. When the teacher teaches you are Brahma, you cannot say I know Brahman as subject, you cannot say I know Brahman as object also. If you say I know Brahman as object, then you make it an object. It is not true. We say I am object, I know Brahman as subject also. You cannot say I know myself as Brahman. Even then you make Brahman an object. Because the subject can never be an object. The subject of knowledge can never become an object of knowledge. If you say, I know myself as Brahman also, you are the subject and you are the object, isn't it? And if you say, you are the subject and you are the object, even then, it's not possible, isn't it? You do think this way. Get it correctly. Why you cannot say that I know myself as Brahman? Because when you say I know, you become a knower. If you are a knower, what is object of knowledge? Yourself. Therefore, you make the subject an object. So clear? Subject of knowledge can never be an object of knowledge. Therefore, you cannot say, I know Brahman as an object. I know well Brahman. When you say, you make Brahman an object, it is wrong. If you say, I know Brahman as subject of knowledge, as myself, if you say also, still you make Brahman an object. Subject itself can never be an object of knowledge. Like what? The object to be burnt is always different from fire. The fire can burn anything but cannot burn its own self. It is like saying, if you say I know myself, it is like saying fire has burnt itself. if your expression, how wrong it is. Because you may think, how? Why can't you say, I know Brahman as myself? That means you still know Brahman only as yourself. What about other selves? You exclude other selves or what? No, I know Brahman as myself means what? Which self? No, as consciousness, as myself. And is conscious only in this body mind complex? Only in your mind? Which consciousness do you mean as self? As yourself? Therefore, a consciousness is the self, innermost essence, the self of all the beings, no doubt. But you cannot say, I know myself. I know myself as Brahman. Therefore, it's like saying fire has burnt itself. Therefore, the knowing, know is a verb. Brahman is not involved, okay, beyond any transaction. Knowing, know is a verb. Brahman is nothing to do with the verb. Therefore, you cannot say, I know Brahman very well as myself. I know Brahman, when you say, either you should say, it must, Brahman must be what? Must be object of knowledge or subject of knowledge, or Brahman must be both subject and object of knowledge. Only then the verb I know you can use. Brahman must be object of knowledge, or subject of knowledge, or both object and object of knowledge. Then you can say, I know Brahman as the subject, or the object, or as both. But Brahman is neither the object nor the subject. Brahman is not an object, not available, not an object at all. And you cannot say, I know Brahman as a subject of knowledge, as myself, as the knower. Even then you make Brahman an object. The subject can never be an object. Fire can never burn itself. So you can never know yourself. It means what? You can never know yourself means you are that which is of the nature of knowing. You can claim, I am the consciousness which is of the nature of knowing. Hope I didn't confuse you. It's very subtle. Do you see that? Very, very. Remember this example of fire, because not my example, Adi Shankar Bhagavatpada's example, you will remember it. It's something you have to think well. Is it vague? Still? Doesn't matter. It is such a long bhashyam is there. I'm only sitting with the one sentence, first sentence. So he says, Dahyam iva dagdum agnehe. Natu agnehe swarupameva dahyam. For fire, its own swarupam is never an object to be burnt. Can never be an object to be burnt. Fire is it? See, fire is that because of which anything else can be burnt. And fire is that which cannot be burnt by anything else. Why fire can't be burnt by anything else? Because it is the fire because of which alone anything else can be burnt. There is no other vastu which is of the nature of burning. So that which is of the nature of burning, because of which everything else gets burnt, and burning is not an action, very swarupam. And that, therefore, such a fire cannot be burnt by anything else, nor can it burn itself. Is it clear? தன்னை தானாகவும் எரித்துக்கொள்ள முடியாது, மற்றவைகளாலும் எரித்துக் கொள்ளப்பட முடியாது, எரிக்கப்பட முடியாது. அண்ட் எந்த ஒன்றால் வாட்டெல்லாம் எரிக்கப்படக்கூடியது. வெரி இன்ட்ரெஸ்டிங் இஸ் இட் டு நோ திஸ். வாட் இஸ் ஃபயர்? டிஃபைன் ஃபயர். சச் எ கிராஸ் ஆப்ஜெக்ட், யூ ஆர் யூசிங் தி கிராசஸ்ட் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் சம்திங் சட்டலஸ்ட் ஆத்மா. If fire is that, because of which alone anything else can be burnt, gets burnt. And that which cannot be burnt by anything else, and that which cannot burn itself. So burning is not an action, swarupam. What should you say now? Last sentence. That which is of the nature of burning is the fire. This is what arrived at fire. Similarly, what is Brahman? Brahman, that which cannot be known by anything else, that which cannot know its own self, that which is of the nature of knowing is Brahman. Is interesting. You think of an example. That which is of the nature of knowing is Brahman. So that which cannot know itself, that which cannot know itself, that which cannot be known by anything else, and that because of which everything else becomes known also. That because of the presence of which everything else becomes known, that which cannot be known by anything else, that which cannot know by itself, that which is of the nature of knowing is Brahman. Sun cannot illumine itself. Sun does not illumine itself. Sun is that which cannot be illumined by anything else, and sun which cannot illumine itself, that which cannot illumine itself, that which cannot be illumined by anything else, but that because of whose presence alone everything becomes illumined. That means that which is of the nature of illumining is the sun. Do you get it? What is sun? Define sun now. Sun is that which cannot be illumined by anything else, which cannot illumine itself, and that in whose presence alone everything else becomes illumined is the sun. That means sun is of the nature of illumination. That which is of the nature of illumination. Illumining is not an action. So in what form is the sun there? Sun is in the form of that which is of the nature of illumining. In what form Brahman is? Because you have to recognize in what form Brahman is, in what form does Brahman obtain? You can arrive at Brahman only in terms of its Swarupam. That which is of the nature of knowing, that because of which everything else becomes known, in whose presence? That because of, in whose presence something called knowledge is possible, that which cannot be known by anything else, that which cannot know itself. And that which is different from all those known. All those things which are burnt by the fire, fire is different from anything which can be burnt by fire. Fire is that which is different from everything which can be burnt by fire. Just don't touch the example too much, but just take it little. You may say fire cannot burn water. You know, it can dry the water, you know that. Different from everything which can be burnt. And cannot be burnt by anything. Cannot burn itself. And that because of which everything else becomes burnt means, what can you say? The burning is what? Is it action? Not an action. Swarupam. Therefore, you have to know. That is why if you say, I know myself also, then you, isn't it? You are the knower. Brahman becomes the known. If you say, I know Brahman as a subject also, it's like saying, but the fire has burnt its own Swarupam. All that you can say is fire is that which is of the nature of burning. That's how you arrive at, is it? The same way, that which is of the nature of knowing is consciousness. And I am consciousness. There's no consciousness is Atma, and consciousness is Brahman. Sarvasya hi vedituhu swatma Brahma iti sarva vedantanam sunischitah artah. Sarva vedantanam sunischitah artah. Definite vision of all the Upanishadic texts is what? Brahman is the very self of every knower. The knower in everything. The Swarupam of the knower in every mind. Isn't it? Very Swarupam. Very, I don't know what word can be used in English. The very Swarupam of knower in every mind is Brahma. Sarvasya Vedituhu. Sarvasya, sarvasya Vedituhu means every knower. the Swaroop Swatma, the self of the Swaroopam of every knower is Brahma. The Swaroopam of the knower in every mind, knower in every being, every human mind. The Swaroopam of the knower in every mind is Brahma. The knower, because there's a knower, with reference to every mind, there's a knower, isn't it? The Swaroopam of knower in every mind is Brahma. Knower, when you say, you restrict the self as the mind, isn't it? The Swaroopam of knower in every mind. If you give the name, if you say Illuminator is the light in this room, Illuminator here, Illuminator there, Illuminator in all the houses, the Swaroopam of Illuminator in every house is light. Isn't it? The light gets the status of being the Illuminator only with reference to a given illumined thing. Illuminator in this house, Illuminator there, Illuminator in every house, the Swaroopam of Illuminator in every house, every room is what? Light. Similarly, the Swaroopam of the knower in every mind is Abrahma. I am, see, look at this, I am the knower, and the Swaroopam of the knower is Brahma. Consciousness means my Swaroopam is consciousness. My Swaroopam is consciousness means what? I am consciousness. I am Brahma. Aham Brahma. That is the correct understanding. I know Brahma as subject, as object. That's a problem. I am Brahma means Aham Brahma Asmi. No verb comes in between. I know Brahma means you made Brahman an object. No, I know Brahman as myself. Still, it is an object only. Because you make yourself an object of your knowledge. Even then you are wrong. Do you get it? It's very subtle. The study should lead you to the understanding, I am Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. And not only that, all that is here is Brahma. Sarvasya Vedituhu Swatma Brahma. Sarvasya hi Vedituhu Swatma Brahma. Iti Sarva Vedantanam Sunischitaha Artaha. No, the definitely revealed ascertained that the vision of all the Upanishadic texts is one and the same vision. What is that? Brahman is the very Atma, the innermost self, means the very essence, the very swarupam of the knower in every being. There is no knower other than consciousness, but consciousness is not the knower. Consciousness is not the known either. Consciousness is neither the knower nor the known. Is it? The consciousness is the very swarupam of the knower. Because I cannot say I am the only knower sitting here. You will say I am also knower because I also know this. Sarvasya do. Actually, there is knower in everyone. The knower in everyone is another than consciousness. That is why you cannot say I know consciousness as the knower subject. All that you can understand is the swarupam of, the very essence of the knower in every, is it, mind, is consciousness, Brahma. You get it? Vedituhu, sarvasya vedituhu. Sva-atma brahma iti sarva-vedantanam sunischitaha arthaha. It's a vision of all the Upanishads. Well-defined vision of all the Upanishads. Revealed Upanishad. Revealed vision of all the Upanishads. Brahman is not the knower, but the swarupam of the knower. H2O, let me give a grass example. H2O is not the wave, but is not the water, but the swarupam of water. Not the wave, swarupam of wave. Illumination is the very swarupam of the sun. Sun is not the illuminator, but illumination is the very swarupam of the sun. So you can say, illuminate, is it sun? Sun is very swarupam of the illuminator. This is a gross example. The swarupam, when I say, you mean the essence, without which there is no illuminator, isn't it? So we'll stop here.
In view of all that was said this morning, is it fair or valid to say that consciousness is conscious of its consciousness?
No. Consciousness that is not conscious of itself. No. Understand, is it not conscious of anything else also? Nothing in the world can be conscious of consciousness. But consciousness is that which is of the nature of being conscious.
So then there can be no such thing as self-awareness.
No, self-awareness is relatively there. You are aware of yourself.
Ah, as an individual, as a jiva, yes, but there is no self-awareness other than that.
No, consciousness does not become conscious of itself. Okay. Consciousness can never become conscious of itself.
I'm not talking about becoming conscious of itself, but But having consciousness of its own consciousness, does that apply?
We've already told consciousness does not know, does not become, and no verb can be used with reference to consciousness. Consciousness becomes conscious of it, consciousness is conscious of it, consciousness is for not. Consciousness does not do any action, does not involve any function, does not see, hear, know. It does not know also. Consciousness does not know. If you say consciousness knows, means consciousness, the knowing becomes an action. You can say mind knows. It's a function, isn't it? But consciousness knows, you cannot say. Consciousness is that because of which knowing is possible on the part of the mind. Consciousness is that which is of the nature of knowing. That means that which is pure knowledge. That is why we analyze these three states of experience.
Let's come to the next question. That is how I'm finding it difficult to square pure knowledge with knowing. I can see how, in one sense, I know the potato. There is knowing of the potato. In that sense, knowing and knowledge are one and the same. Is knowing and knowledge and the way you've been using it one and the same in that sense?
Yeah, I know potato means. You have knowledge of, there's knowledge of potato,
yeah. So
which is a thought, which is a thought.
Ah, okay, that's not the same.
Vritti jnanam. That is, vritti is different from surupam, isn't it?
Yeah.
This has been taught teaching. See, what I'm saying here, consciousness is the very surupam of the knower. And which does not, that's why you cannot call it the knowing, it's not an action. That is, for example, knowing means, listen carefully, knowledge is dependent on certain instruments. Suppose the knowledge takes place in the mind, okay? Look at this. As you said, I know potato. That means there is knowledge in the mind of potato. So for you, to have the knowledge, for the mind to have knowledge, for the knowledge to be there, that there is potato, it is for the knowledge to take place, it is dependent on perception, function of perception. And perception is dependent on the particular instrument of perception. Isn't it? There must be perception, there must be instrument of perception. Only then there can be knowledge that there is potato, there is light. There must be function of perception, then there must be instrument of perception. Then only there can take, then object also must be there, light must be there. Only then there is knowledge of light. Light must be there for the knowledge to take place of a given object. There must be object first, and there must be perception of the object, and there must be instrument of perception also. Without instrument of perception, no perception is possible. Even the perception is there, object is not there, knowledge is not possible. Even the object is there, perception doesn't take place, there is no instrument of perception, knowledge is not possible. Dependent, isn't it? Whereas, that's why it's called function. Knowing is a function of mentation, mind.
Yes.
Whereas, at swarupam, let me come to swarupam. When you say consciousness is the nature of knowing, means it's not knowing on the part of consciousness, is not an action, it is the swarupam. That knowing you are using only to arrive at, to recognize consciousness. which is there as the very self, as the essence of, innermost essence of every being. The innermost essence of you, the being, is nothing but consciousness. Rare, what did we say? So, okay, but have you finished it? You have asked the question, let me finish my answer to your question. Then you come with the next question. Because I have to complete it, no. Otherwise you can't, my answer is not complete, and then your question is not answered fully. So the Swarupa consciousness means, for consciousness to know, to know, again I mean it's not a verb there, you know, to be a nature of knowing, for that, it is not dependent on anything as a function or instrument. How do you know? That's, no? That is why we analyze each state of experience. And there is a deep sleep state. And in deep sleep state, there is no such thing called function of perception. There is no instrument of instruments of perception are functional. Not even mind isn't. The instrument of knowledge, instrument of perception isn't. All mind and senses, all are resolved. Nothing is there. Therefore, object of perception also is not there. But still there is knowledge. That nothing is there. Knowledge of nothingness is there. And for knowledge of nothingness is there, how is it not without any instrument, everything, how is it possible? Then there is a knower, isn't it? The knower of the knowledge. Knower of the presence, the knower of that knower. You can't call it knower, really speaking. That knower is another than consciousness, means that knower, from the standpoint of the experience, you call it knower. Experiencer. Really speaking, there is no experiencer. There is Swarupa. You get it?
Yeah, I understand that. I just wish I hadn't brought up a potato. I'm not talking in terms of mind perceiving. I'm just trying to get clear about the word knowledge and this gerund, which is both a noun and a verb, knowing. I'm just trying to get
clear. Oh. You mean the gerund and the knowing, the gerund, the knowing,
yes,
and the knowledge.
Knowing is a noun and a verb simultaneously, because that's just the nature of it in English. And then a knowledge is obviously just a noun. I'm trying to
knowing as a verb, when I said,
what?
As a verb.
Yes, but your use of it in knowing as a nature, so consciousness is of the nature of knowing.
That means, I mean, the pure knowledge is consciousness. Pure knowledge is Atma, Brahma. See, pure knowledge is a synonym of the word consciousness.
Okay.
In fact, you can never know what pure knowledge is. Because pure knowledge is not a subject, not an object.
Okay.
That's what is the thing now.
So you're using it as a noun.
Pure knowledge is the only substance. Yes, noun.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
Pure and only noun, yeah.
Knowing is being...
Ever the noun, never the verb.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Because, why I'm saying pure is a... We can say very well it's a noun, because that's the only substance... The only appropriate substantive. All the substantives are meaningless. The so-called substances of any substantive is ultimately reducible to what? Mithya. The only substance is consciousness, pure knowledge. It was just the noun. Ever the noun. Have you answered your question?
Yeah. Thank you.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.